The scripture comes from Jeremiah 8, chapter 18, verses 9 to 1. My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick. Listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn, and honor has seized me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. The second scripture comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable before God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus himself, human, who gave. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A doctor said to his patient, I have some bad news and some very bad news. And the patient said, well, give me the bad news first. And the doctor said, the lab called with your test results. They said you have 24 hours to live. And the patient went, 24 hours? That's terrible. What could be worse than that? What's the very bad news? And the doctor said, I've been trying to reach you since yesterday. A man walks into a doctor's office. He has a cucumber up his nose, a carrot in his left ear, and a banana in his right ear. What's the matter with me? He asks the doctor, who replied, you're not eating properly. Think about it. There is a classic Bugs Bunny cartoon that after something has happened in the cartoon to another character, Bugs comes to the front of the stage and asks, is there a doctor in the house? And we see a silhouette of a man, because it was made in the 40s, stand up and say, I'm a doctor, causing Bugs to pull out a carrot. What's up, Doc? Great, just blow my, come on, microphone, just blow the punchline. Well, nowadays, we are very fortunate that when a medical emergency, even at home, we simply dial 911 and EMTs are quickly dispatched to those in need of assistance. Last fall, when I was returning from a place that shall not be named, a passenger on my flight had a medical emergency. I'd never been involved with anything like this before. And the flight attendants were notified, and they didn't need to dramatically ask, is there a doctor on board? Because they all knew that the passenger sitting in the front seats was a physician returning from a vacation with his family, including a child who had a medical alert dog. And he quickly went to the passenger who was having a cardiac incident and got things under control. And he made it the rest of the flight, and an ambulance met them at the gate, and the passenger walked off under his own power, thanks to the healing touch and knowledge of the physician. It was pretty intense, I have to admit that. And it made me all the more thankful for our 911 system. In our Old Testament lesson this morning, the prophet Jeremiah is weeping. Is there no doctor in the house? Is there no one who can heal? I mean, Jeremiah is crying because he sees no help, no balm to heal the sin-sick soul of his nation. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no doctor who can help? And Jeremiah is plaintively calling for a doctor, not just for someone close by experiencing a medical emergency, but for his entire nation of Judah. He is heartbroken over the unfaithfulness of his people. All hell is breaking loose around him. After a brief and encouraging reform by the good King Josiah, the people of Judah are backsliding big time. They're worshiping foreign gods and falling into all manner of immorality. But more danger is soon to come. A Babylonian invasion is looming on the horizon. The corrupt king, Jehoiakim, seems not to notice. He does nothing in the palace. And the people of Judah do not see what Jeremiah sees coming. They can't see beyond their own petty problems and pleasures. And Jeremiah's plea of, is there no balm in Gilead? He's referring to a famous rosin harvested from the trunks of a balsam pine tree that they grew in the Gilead region. And it's a fragrant ointment refined from that pine sap that was good for all kinds of ailments. You might call it the Vicks Vapor Rub of its generation. Jeremiah regards the corruption of his people, their hopelessness, their lack of a future, and he cries out, is there no balm, no medicine that can help? Is there no doctor in the house? No one who can bring true healing to this wayward and ailing people? And Jeremiah is speaking of sin as a serious moral ailment, a disease that is lethal and can only be healed by an outside power. Isaiah alludes to the suffering servant, or the Messiah, as the wounded healer who is the great physician. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his wounds we are healed. Now, our society doesn't use the word sin very often. When our neighbors hear it, they are likely to have one of two reactions. They either dismiss such talk as pious claptrap from some old-fashioned, out-of-touch busybody, or they see it as something perversely attractive, you know, like the chocolate cake that's advertised as sinfully good. Billy Joel caught this attitude in this famous line from one of his songs. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners have much more fun, for only the good die young. Poor Jeremiah. No wonder he cries as he gazes out on a society that has degenerated into massive systemic. And maybe once he was angry about it, but now he's world weary and filled with despair. His pastor's heart reaches out with compassion. These people are sick, so very sick. And no doctor is on the case. The pharmacy shelves are bare. The great missionary doctor, Albert Schweitzer, who dedicated his life to running a backcountry hospital in the steaming jungles of West Africa, took a medical image from his own African practice and applied it to the European culture of his birth. You know of the disease in Central Africa called sleeping sickness, he said. There also exists a sleeping sickness of the soul. Its most dangerous aspect is that one is unaware of its coming, and that's why you have to be careful. As soon as you notice the slightest sign of indifference, the moment you become aware of the loss of a certain seriousness, of longing, of enthusiasm, of zest, take it as a warning. You should realize your soul suffers if you live superficially. The city of Las Vegas has a tagline saying, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." Well, that's not really true. Sin always has consequences. And Jeremiah's sin is a deadly malady that needs to be healed. Most of the great religions have within them some concept of sin. They see it as a fatal malady that gets a hold of the human heart and never lets go, at least not of its own accord. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no doctor in the house to apply the miracle cure so sin can be banished and spiritual health and wholeness restored? Well, yes, there is. And in the Christian tradition, we know it as the grace of God in Jesus Christ. The balm is carried within us and often gets released through our tears. Tears of sorrow, tears of suffering, tears of heartfelt penitence. There is a sacredness in tears. They are not the mark of war. They speak more eloquently than 10,000 tongues. They are the messengers of overwhelming grief, of deep contrition, and of unspeakable love. And I thought that was so profound when Avery, during the children's moment, said there are tears of sadness and tears of gladness. Very wise. There is a memorial outside the federal building in Oklahoma City where in 1995, 168 men and women and children lost their lives to the bomb exploded by terrorist Timothy McVeigh. It's a statue of Jesus, but not Jesus as we usually see him in great works of art. This figure is not the Good Shepherd with a lamb across his shoulders, nor the crucified Savior, nor the triumphant ruler of all, arms outstretched in blessing. This statue depicts Jesus weeping, his face in his hand. His gaze turned away from the place where so many died. And a plaque on the statue says simply, "And Jesus wept." And there's comfort in that. There's comfort in knowing that our Lord weeps with us in our sufferings. When we're profoundly moved, our bodies supply water to run down our cheeks and we have a good cry, just like Jeremiah. Let us join the prophet and weep together. Let us cry over opportunities lost. Let's cry about our foolish rebellion and pettiness. Let's cry in remorse for chasing after foreign gods, such as fleeting pleasures and vapid materialism. Let's cry tears of repentance. Let's cry tears of bitter realization. And then let us cry tears of joy. Why? Because there is a balm in Gilead. It's the balm of Golgotha, the balm of grace, and Jesus is the great physician. And when this balm is applied, we recall not the tears, but the waters of our baptism flow down over our heads and upon our cheeks, but they figuratively heal our souls. The balm of grace, the only thing in this weary world that can cure the sin-sick soul. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.